What's up, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here. Welcome back to Carry the G in MKE. I'm joined, as always, by Camille Davis, sitting out there in Milwaukee. Hello from New York, Camille. How was your New Year's watching the Packers kick some Vikings' ass?
It was fabulous. I mentioned, I'm like, maybe I should have like some people over. Maybe we should make this a thing. And indeed, we did. And the best part of it, two of my husband's friends from college came down there from Minnesota. So it was great. It was great.
I mean, it is great when you're watching with people, especially if they're, rooting for the other team. One of my favorite memories ever in life as a Packers fan was being in North Carolina for a Packers-Vikings game. It was actually early in the season in 99, I think it was, and the Vikings scored late to take a lead, and they were the Vikings fans in attendance were very loud, very obnoxious and in my face, and I was just by myself. I was sitting clearly cheering for the Packers, but right. I wasn't antagonistic or anything, but then they had scored, and they thought they were all of a sudden all that, and Brett Favre just let them down the field for a winning last-second touchdown, and I got up and was so belligerent. Well, I mean, like, gotta let sleeping dogs lie, because I will
come
after you.
Those are the funnest ones. Like, when you get a chance to, when you've been cool the whole time,
I'm just cool.
Keep messing with you, and it's like, all right, now I'm going to show out. That happened to me. I was in Houston, and we were playing the Cowboys. The Packers were playing the Cowboys. We went to BW3s, and it was nothing but Houston Texans fans in the place, but they were cheering for the Cowboys, and they were talking crazy to us. We were like, your team ain't even playing. And when the Packers came back and won, we ran through the BW3s, like ran through it, going all like this with the Packers there.
Well, look, and I always revel in a victory over the Vikings, but it's like this one in particular, after the way they came into Lambeau and the last couple times that, the Vikings have gotten it over on the Packers in Lambeau Field, and to see their fans at the end of the game, like, cheering and being there, like in front of the stage, wherever the pundits are sitting, and hearing them chant about the Vikings, blah blah blah, to see those tables turned and to hear "Go Pack, Go" echoing throughout US Bank Stadium, it's always sweeter against the Vikings because they're such a plastic franchise, you know. And I know we've talked about this, but it's like with the Bears, there's history, there's some modicum of respect there, given all that, you know, the two franchises have been through over 100+ years. But the Vikings, I mean, what have they been around since 61? They ain't won a damn thing in that time, and they're always so kind of, I don't know, just fake and plastic, and they don't do anything organic. Like, I just love beating the Vikings. It's just
you mentioned organic. We know that crowd noise wasn't for some years, so
right.
There's that to it, and I'm
so
glad.
That's how they operate.
I'm so glad we won, because I did not want to keep hearing that horn, and I'm so glad we were able to limit the time that we had to hear that horn.
Absolutely. Oh, the worst. The freaking worst. I will say, shout out to Matt LaFleur for having his guys ready across the board. I know there obviously was the snafu by Samori Torre on the punt return, but even special teams, I thought their coverage units were excellent, and I thought all three phases, guys were playing with energy. They were playing for each other. I think there was a vibe around the team that was not going to be denied. And I think that's a testament to Matt LaFleur, because no doubt they've had a rough couple weeks on defense, especially the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the performance they had, again, as a team, it was really encouraging, because that's the kind of effort and togetherness and vibe you want to see coming into a game where you got to win and get in the playoffs and hopefully make a run. That's what you have to have, and you definitely saw it on Sunday night.
Yeah, especially when around your team, you just had to suspend your best cornerback, the highest paid cornerback in NFL. Like, there was a lot of noise around the Packers this week going into this game, which was a do or die game for the Green Bay Packers. And to your point, the guys came out and they played together. They looked under control. I mean, it was such a sharp difference in this game against the Vikings than the last time we played them. Yeah. Like, the last time we played the Vikings, we had more penalties than points. And
that is well remembered.
You
very
know
good
what
point.
I'm saying? Like, I went back and rewatched that first Minnesota game, and I was just like, our offense has gotten so much better since this point. Yeah. Jordan Love's command of being able to control the offense, be able to identify blitzes, the offensive line being able to pick up everything, receivers running right routes and catching the ball. Like, that first game in Minnesota compared to this one looks completely night and day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that they had, 6 drops, and that's if you're being generous, probably could count for a few more in that first contest. And it's incredible. You talk about Jordan Love and knowing where to go with the football. I mean, think about how many dudes he's down at the skill position player, the skill positions heading into that game without, you know, Watson, without Musgrave. You've got Reed back, thankfully, but no Wicks, who's been incredibly dependable. It was just great to see him not only be able to distribute to whoever was open and know exactly where to go, whether it is Tucker Kraft in the flat, whether it's Malik Heath on a third down conversion. Like, he just knew exactly where to go with the ball. There was hardly ever a moment where he didn't seem to have answers. And again, that is a testament to Matt LaFleur as far as the game plan goes and knowing the tendencies of the Vikings and their really heavy blitzing ways. Didn't seem to rattle Jordan, never seemed to rattle the offensive line, the protection unit in general. I mean, that's just outstanding work from everyone against a team that, you know, caused them a lot of problems last time around. Not even like the receivers, just the protection aspect of it. They got after the Packers pretty damn well last time around, and there were just nothing close to that on Sunday night.
Nothing at all. And we've talked about it before on Carry the G in the past about how the Packers kept finding themselves in situations where it's like, can you pass this test? Like, you have your cheat sheet, you got your notes here. Like, can you actually do it? And they did. Like, I love to see that this Packers team, the second time around, seems to have found ways to improve over those other games. Like, we saw it with Detroit. We saw it now with Minnesota. I mean, we beat Chicago the first time, so you hope to see that that continues. But I absolutely love the performance that we had. And you mentioned the fact that we had Reed, and that was only for a half.
Right.
And Reed came in and completely dominated in his one half of football. That first touchdown that Love threw down the seam.
Oh my gosh.
Where he's jumping so in the, like, again.
I know the scissor kick from Love on the throw is hilarious. I love that. And I also adore the fact that Reed is so he knows exactly where the hole in the zone is and that he's got the linebacker beat, the deep drop and the cover two, and he legit throws up his arm before he's even cleared the coverage, but he knows he's about to come screaming wide open, and Love sees it at the exact same time and throws with anticipation. That's
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
Just gorgeous.
And his second touchdown, that was like Love put it in the perfect place for Reed on the first one, but that second touchdown, Reed made something out of a lot of nothing, forced some missed tackles, and then continued to fight through. Like, a great
two
first
more attempts, right? Exactly.
Man, and Bo Melton. We got to talk about Bo.
Shout out Bo Melton. Come on. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a one-game wonder kind of thing, because you saw his output down in Carolina, you know, that desperate need of another wide receiver. In steps Bo Melton off the practice squad, and you think, okay, job well done. But, you know, we've heard Matt LaFleur talk about this, and it's very, very true. It's like you set the standard. The key to becoming a regular contributor is, okay, can you find consistency with that? Like, I don't think he's polished. I don't think he's arrived. But he's certainly shown between the Panthers game and now the Vikings game, he can contribute. Like, he can probably be a guy that you're going to throw in to the rotation. I don't think he's going to be featured. I don't think you should expect huge things from him. But, man, nothing phases the guy. Like, that drop that he had early on fourth down, I would not have been surprised if he kind of went into a shell or kind of seemed somewhat down on himself or maybe let it rattle him. That certainly wasn't the case, because he kept coming and kept delivering and producing. I love this kid, and I love his story.
Yeah, I love it. I also love the fact that his name is Bo, and he wears number 80, so it looks kind of like he's wearing his name on his random.
Good. So good.
But, I mean, the first 100-yard receiver, Bo Melton, like, who?
Oh, as we all predicted back in training camp. And the fact that it took till week 17 for them to even have a 100-yard receiver in a game. I mean, it does speak to how much they spread the ball around, you know? I think it also speaks to guys being hurt quite a bit. But, yeah the fact that he got over 100 yards on the final third down shot from Sean Clifford. Just to rub it in their faces a little bit. Oh, that's, I mean, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, my favorite part about that was the Minnesota people who we had here. They just kept like, why is Bo always open? How is this guy continuously open? He's open again. He's open again.
Well, I don't think there's a doubt that they were underestimating his speed.
Absolutely.
The kid ran a 4.3. You know, he's got legit speed. And it looked like the Vikings were pretty caught by surprise in that aspect.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, they were caught by surprise by Bo, but they knew what Aaron Jones could do. And yet and still, here comes Aaron Jones doing what he does. Like, over the last two games, when we have a healthy Aaron Jones, like, I don't think it's any surprise that the Packers have scored at least 30 points in the last two with Aaron Jones healthy. And in the lineup, like, he's averaging, I think, over 120 yards over the last two games alone. Like, he has been fantastic since he's been back.
No doubt. I mean, he is a key to unlocking the offense. And we've said that for years. It's nice to see Matt LaFleur get on board and give him the football. And it was interesting. I'm glad you brought up Aaron Jones, because it's clear that when he's on the field, it's a huge difference for the Packers offense. There's no doubt about it. And the whole narrative around Jones this season has been about his health, right? As far as how dominant he looked in that first game, hurts his hamstring, misses a bunch of time. And even since coming back from that, he's been in and out, limited, snap on a snap count, what have you. These last two games, as a full participant, we've seen the difference he's made. But if you watch that game again, and maybe you caught it live, nearly, I want to say every play in the second half, he's post-play after a run looking at the sideline and either giving them thumbs up or, no, I get tap out. I need a breather. Like, you can tell they've given him ownership of when he's going to be on the field. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of the situation, they're saying, Aaron, let us know when you need a break.
And I love that. Like, that feels different than what we've seen before in the past with Aaron Jones, where we had questions like, what's up with the usage of
Aaron
Jones?
Where is he? Right.
Exactly. Right. So this, I hope that this continues where it's Jones kind of being able to dictate like what his body needs in that particular moment. And on top of that, we know Jones trusts the guys who are behind him as well. We know the relationship he has with Dylan. We know how he feels about him, and he trusts the other guys behind him as well. So I really enjoyed that. Just, again, I saw him with icing his knee or something like that during the game. Yeah. So I hope something too serious as we head into this week 18.
Always something. Always something.
Hey.
Got to worry about injuries all the time, every time. All right. Well, we've talked a lot about the offense. Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. And, hey, look, you can only play the guys in front of you, right? Yep. And they were facing a rookie quarterback. And I don't think anybody was feeling great heading into this matchup, if you're a Packers fan, only because of Joe Barry's track record, not only this season, but throughout his tenure in Green Bay, of making rookie, no-name, journeyman quarterbacks have like look amazing and have the best day of their career every time they face the Packers. So it was encouraging and somewhat of a relief to see the Packers take care of business. Like, I don't want to put too much stock in it, because I know the Vikings don't really have a quarterback after Cousins went down, right? But I will say, that's what you're supposed to do. It's good to see the Packers take care of business. You're supposed to make that rookie quarterback look completely overwhelmed, which is exactly what he looked. You know, it was nice to finally see a defense take advantage of an opponent it should be taking advantage of.
Absolutely, because after seeing what this defense did against Detroit and then the Chiefs, you're just kind of like, oh yeah, we're cooking now. We figured
something
out. Found a way
of working, right?
And the next thing you know, here comes Tommy DeVito.
Jesus Christ.
Cooking us up like the cutlets that he so much enjoys to eat. We got cooked. And then here comes Baker Mayfield. You know what I'm saying?
Cooked.
So at this point,
yes,
you're sitting here. And then even against the Panthers, where you're looking
Bryce
at Bryce Young,
has a second half for the ages.
Exactly. So I was also one of those people who going into this game was like, I don't know what to expect from this defense. Like, we've seen them play very well against good comp with Detroit and with Kansas City. And then we've seen them play complete stinkers against games where you're like, this defense should take care of business. It's advantageous for the defense in this matchup. And they still didn't come through. So to see them do what they're supposed to do against this Vikings team with like you mentioned, they didn't really have a core. Like, let's keep
they
it
don't.
Real. Like,
they don't.
They didn't have any. Like, it's not Kirk Cousins back there this time around. So it's a different dynamic. And they took care of it. And they pressured them, blitzes, stunts. Like, it was beautiful just to see how many ways they were able to confuse and get into his head, as well as Nick Mullins in the second half. Like, let's just continue dialing this up. And we knew that the Vikings didn't have a strong run game coming into this game, and then they got down big early.
Yes.
So we knew
take that.
It was going to be passing situations.
Right. Yeah,
and they took advantage of it.
You absolutely love to see it. And, yeah, the fact that they did a little bit more to get them behind the sticks as far as putting them in really bad down and distances with early pressure, like whether it was Nixon from the slot, Quay Walker up the middle, there were a few more wrinkles. And then, of course, Preston Smith just having, like, a dynamite night, just destroying their best tackle. that you like that was for me the difference where you finally utilize some of your pressure stuff early on early downs to get them behind the sticks, because you know this kid's not going to convert on a second and 30 or a second and 28 or whatever. Now, they still gave up chunks of yardage on second and long because that's who they are. But there's no real threat once they're in that situation with Hall under center. And to your point, by the time Mullins comes in, like, you have to play hurt catch up. You know, you've got to try, if you're the Vikings, you got to try and push the ball down the field, which actually plays into the Packers' hands with how they traditionally play the too high shell. So, yeah, it was nice to see them, like I said, take care of business, which is going to be necessary on Sunday against a resurgent Chicago Bears team. I mean, I love that we're bookending this season with the Bears. Like, I absolutely adore it, and especially because of how well the Packers have played on offense the last, like, 6-7 weeks, coupled with how well the Bears have played on defense in almost kind of the same time frame. Mm-hmm. I know the conversation in Chicago is much about Justin Fields and what they're going to do with the quarterback position, which is understandable. But to me, the real story of their season is the trade for Montez Sweat and Eberflus taking over play calling on defense. Those two factors have really turned them around defensively, and they are a very, very tough unit, much tougher than the team we faced back in week one. And I am fascinated. You talk about passing tests. It's a huge one. This, I mean, stakes are high. Jordan Love, at least he's at home. You know, he's got probably, hopefully, use of his cadence, try and utilize some of that to get them to tip their hand a little bit, maybe take advantage of some things. But this is a very, very different unit and a very, very different defense than the one Love and company shredded back in week one.
It truly is. It truly is. And the Packers offense is a bit different as well since that week one game. And that was the game where we came out and put a bunch of points up on the board.
Right.
But it's interesting, too, thinking about the Bears, because on defense, they're actually pretty young in their secondary. And then they had, like, new linebackers. So they were adjusting as well during that time period. And I think you've seen with that Bears defense, especially with the addition of Sweat coming in, they're building their chemistry, getting to know how to play with each other a little bit better, figuring things out in the same way that we saw with this Packers offense, where it's like, we're learning. There's a lot of young players here. We have to figure things out. So it's... You couldn't script this any better, right? Nope. Like, the Bears don't have anything to play for. We know they're not making the playoffs, and yet and still, they have been on a pretty good streak. I believe they won, like, 5 of their last 7
6
at this point.
Or 7, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, man. It's been a really clean game, and I did look it up because I just – we got to throw a little Bear shade.
Come on now.
Just a little bit. So we know the Bears aren't making the playoffs this year. That'll be the 3rd year in a row that they haven't, and the 11th time in the last 13 seasons where they haven't been in the playoffs. But – I don't think that makes them any less dangerous in that game. It's kind of interesting when a team has quote unquote nothing to play for in regards to playoff positioning and whatnot, because now it's just like, well, I'm not going to be going to the dance. I don't want you to go either. Like, yeah, I'm going to be on some hater stuff. Like, I'm going to play as hard as I can because I don't want y'all in there either. And we also know that the Packers have been a measuring stick for the Bears for years. So yes, this is a big one. Justin Fields has never beat the Green Bay Packers. And I hope that trend continues this weekend.
Yeah, speaking of Fields, he has played somewhat better. I think clearly the defense has helped put them in better positions. He hasn't needed to drive, you know, long fields or what have you. He's made some plays. He's made some plays with his legs. He's had a throw or two to DJ Moore that has, you know, produced good things. I still don't see a guy that you want to build around long term, but maybe the Bears make a different decision. You know the Bears, they'll screw it up. It's the quarterback position. They don't know what they're doing. But I will say, I am fascinated to see how the Packers approach this offense with Jair Alexander back in the lineup.
Yeah.
He played a decent game the first week. But what's fascinating, you talk about, like, the struggles they had on defense, like that stretch, the Giants, the Buccaneers, and even against the Panthers. I mean, when Jair got back in the lineup, they played a lot of man coverage. They played a lot more cover one, and they got shredded, Jair included, by the Panthers of all people, right? Yeah. And then you turn it around and you look at this game against the Vikings on Sunday night, they played a ton of zone, almost exclusively zone looks. I got to think that, you know, that was obviously in response to having Ballantyne and Valentine out there. You don't probably ask them to play as much man as you would with Stokes and Jair, etc. I'm wondering if they keep that approach, the zone-heavy approach. Because, look, it did good things for them at the end of last season. Your eyes on the quarterback. You saw how many picks they had towards the end of the year in 2022. I do wonder if Barry goes heavy zone this time around as well, just to kind of keep that mode of working, because I know you want Jaire Alexander to match up against DJ Moore. As a fan, we're saying, you know, that's the one-on-one we want to see. And I know they had some success with that against the Vikings in Lambeau last year, right, when we saw Jaire travel with Jefferson. But I'm fascinated to see how they approach it. But I would suspect we're probably going to see a healthy amount of zone and the off coverage, and then picking their spots as far as when to send pressure.
I mean, and we know that's how Joe Barry prefers to run his defense anyways. He would love to give you a heavy dosage of zone looks, but we know that Jaire prefers to be able to play some man coverage.
Right.
So that balance, like you mentioned, is going to be really interesting to see. And again, this is a week where Ja's coming back off suspension. He was in the news a lot for reasons that you don't want to have your name being a distraction or anything like that. So I'm pretty sure Ja's going to be juiced up himself. And honestly, him having a week off, I know the time frame of everything, of course, it was a very crucial game for the Packers, but we know he's been battling injuries as well. And another week off might actually have done him some good to not be getting his body beat up again, because at this point in the season, everyone's dealing with something.
That's right.
So being able to have a couple extra days off should help. And I would hope that with Ja back into the lineup, I do hope that, which I wouldn't have said before, but we've seen how it worked, but that, you know, the zone looks come back, and that if you do start having problems with that, then you can switch there. You can pivot. But having Ja does give you the flexibility to do both of those things a little bit better.
Yeah, and you can combine the two. I mean, there are calls where you can have zone on one side and man on the other and things of that nature, and maybe they could utilize some of that. We've seen that in the past. Not a ton this year, but they haven't really had Jaire available much of the year.
Right.
So to me, it's one of the most interesting aspects of this game to see how they approach DJ Moore, because he's been their playmaker in the passing game, right? I mean, that's the guy Fields looks to. And if you can take him away in any kind of real sense, then you got to deal with his legs, but hopefully you're prepared for that. Camille, I cannot wait for this game. Where are you watching it? Are you watching at home, or are you going out for this one?
I think I'm watching at home. So Tech Foul, three of us are Packers fans, and we have a Bears fan on the show. And we put a wager down on this week's show. So I think we might have to try to find a way to watch that as a full podcast here. But I'll probably be home or somewhere at someone else's home.
There you go. Somewhere you can be loud and obnoxious and in a Bears fan's face. That's what it's all about.
That's the goal.
Let the folks know where they can find you here on this internet.
For sure. Once a week, Technical Foul Podcast. That's TECKNICAL. We cover NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling once a week. The show for this week just dropped. We record live on YouTube every Tuesday, so you can also come and be part of the show. Drop in the comments, and we'll respond to you live there as well. And then Monday through Friday, you can find me on Locked On Bucks, talking all things Milwaukee Bucks. We end the week this week with the back-to-back. First, the Pacers up again, and then we go play the Spurs. So it'll be a fun close to the week.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. My Bucks, baby, my Bucks.
Yes.
I love my Bucks. I've watched maybe like 5 minutes this season. But you know what I say?
It's
like,
hard for you.
It is hard. But nothing really matters until Christmas anyway in the NBA. So now I'll get, you know, football season will end, and I'll get more hardcore into it. But right now they're just my Bucks, and I love them. It's all good. It is funny watching all the drama on Twitter sometimes, though.
Oh my gosh. It's like every game is so reactionary.
It's crazy to me. I always want to say there are like 100 games left. Relax. It's just so funny to me. I love it. All right, Camille, can't thank you enough. Talk to you next week.
For
Pack, go.